Yes, I am the world. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill, my colleague, to comment upon a recent concern by the United States military about the People's Republic of China, an adversary in East Asia. But is it also an adversary in the Atlantic Ocean? Not the Indian Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, not the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean. You think to yourself, well, where? Gordon, a very good evening to you. Remarks about where always come up. Where would the People's Republic of China find a friendly shelter for their expanding Navy, the PLAN Navy, and its Air Force and military attachments? Good evening to you, Gordon.
Good evening, John. U.S. Africa Commands is now worried that China is looking for ports on Africa's west coast, in other words, Atlantic coast. And also, as we've talked about before, China is snooping around the Azores because the U.S. Air Force has sort of taken a very big base and turned it into what they call a ghost facility. So China is snooping around there, and the head of U.S. Africa Command, General Townsend, mentioned this in testimony recently.
Yes, we see from AP report, top U.S. General for Africa warning that a growing threat from China may come not just from the waters of the Pacific, but from the Atlantic as well. U.S. General Stephen Townsend, in an interview, said Beijing is looking to establish a large Navy port capable of hosting submarines or aircraft carriers on Africa's western coast. Townsend said China has approached countries stretching from Mauritania in the north to south of Namibia, intent on establishing a naval facility. And that takes us immediately to our guest, James Holmes of the Naval War College, to come a surface warfare veteran of the U.S. Navy, to comment on the Navy concerns about this. This is AFRICOM. This is a military general, but the Navy and the Atlantic. James, a very good evening to you. Is this something the Navy is already prepared for, that China will be projecting power into at least the South Atlantic? Good evening to you, James.
Gentlemen, good to be with you as always. It's kind of hard to say what the Navy is thinking about in the classified realm. You don't hear too much about it in the unclassified realm, which is where I spend my time. So I think the answer might be that we haven't done a lot of thinking about it. I mean, if you think about the United States, ever since our inception as a country in the late 18th century, we've always thought in terms of the Navy being a forward force. I mean, even when we didn't have a serious Navy, we kept ships in the Mediterranean as early as the presidency of Thomas Jefferson. Andrew Jackson sent the first squadron to East Asia. So I think you're right. I mean, I think the bigger aspect of this is just that as Americans, we actually don't think about our own backyard so much as strategically contested territory, whether it's the Atlantic and the Pacific or North America itself. So I do think that if China does this, it's something we really need to double down and get our minds around so that we can figure out how to respond to it.
It was recently brought to my attention that George Washington mentioned how lucky we were, how peculiarly lucky we were to have the Atlantic Ocean and then eventually the Pacific Ocean as a new republic. But have we taken the Atlantic for granted, James? Is that something you concern yourself with in Naval War College, to talk about defending the Atlantic? Wasn't the Soviet submarine fleet at once a threat in the North Atlantic, at least?
Oh, absolutely. And to the extent we do think about the Atlantic as being a potential battleground, it's normally a concern about Russia. But again, since the Cold War, we've really taken for granted our maritime security and our ability to dominate the sea. In fact, in 1992, when the Navy issued its very first strategy for the post-Cold War era, it basically said, look, we own the sea. The Soviet Navy is gone. The West now rules the sea. And we don't really need to think about so much about fighting for command of the sea, which is the precursor. A prerequisite for doing anything in the rim lands of Western Europe, East Asia, other places where we need to do things in order to assure commerce and also to uphold our political interests.
Gordon, this turns on the idea that China has good relations, or at least can put the money on the table to win the attention of these African nations. Is that credible, Gordon? I've wondered about China's adventurism ever since it stopped talking Belt and Road.
Well, China certainly has the money. The question is priorities, and they are overstretched. So when you think about all of the things that Beijing is trying to do, it's clear they don't have the resources for that. The issue that we don't know about is what priority it places on these African bases. And I think that we have to assume that the priority is quite high, because Beijing has put money in the places where it could have a naval facility that would support aircraft carriers and the like.
You have a question for James, Gordon.
James, you talked about how the U.S. from a very early time thought about projecting power abroad. The Chinese are obviously thinking the same thing. Question is, does Beijing have the ships to actually fully put ships in ports on the African coast? And what do we have in terms of, because we're going to have to take our ships currently based elsewhere and put them in the Atlantic if China does that. Does everybody have the ships for this?
Well, I mean, if you look at the PLA Navy, China's Navy, it's now bigger, it's more numerous than our own Navy. So I guess the answer by definition is that they do have that. They, like you said, it's a matter of setting and enforcing priorities, which is basically what strategy is all about. It's most fundamental. If they place a high priority on this, then I think that they would be willing to take assets and put them there. I think probably at the bottom of this is how comfortable they feel with their own security, their own maritime security and military security in East Asia, which of course is job one for China, as it looks at the United States and its allies. If they actually feel pretty comfortable with the situation there in the Taiwan Strait, in the South China Sea, at other embattled places, then they might be willing to actually part with some of the ships that they would normally assume they would keep close to home in order to offset the United States and its allies. So if they actually proceed with this, I think that's an indicator of how they see the situation at home. So there you have it.
James, our Navy right now is struggling with the idea that we don't have enough shipyards. And certainly we need a much larger fleet given the road ahead. However, the puzzle here is, does China have the Navy that we fear? Does it really exist? They're building ships. I understand that. But ships do not sail themselves. They need an educated officer class and enlisted class. My memory is, for example, when they first acquired that aircraft carrier, they didn't have an air wing to fly off of it, and they had to retrain everyone and are still retraining everyone. So is China more ambitious in its shipbuilding than it is in its training? Do we know anything about that?
That's something you just have to monitor how they do when they go out to sea. I think what you're implying, and I think I agree with what you're implying, is that I think we do still have a human edge. I know the United States Navy is undergoing its share of bumpy road in recent years with collisions and whatnot. But at the same time, I think when the chips are down, I do think we have that human edge. This is something that's the last few years, the Pentagon and the Navy have been talking about upgrading their military education, building and attracting enlisted people to a naval community college. So I think we do have that edge, and I think we're trying to preserve and expand that edge. There's also a bigger aspect of this as well. There's definitely a party line in China that no one is allowed to deviate from. This is, in an authoritarian society, basically crushing at anything that might be a threat to the rule of Xi Jinping would basically tend to stifle independent creative thought. And that's what education is all about. So I hope that's still the case. And I think that the PLA Navy probably has a long way to go if that is indeed the case. Being so subservient to politics is just not a good thing.
Gordon?
James, we talked about the Soviet Navy during the Cold War. Is the Russian Navy in the Atlantic these days? And if so, what is your measure of whether they would be working with China in a coordinated fashion against us?
The Russian Navy is in the Atlantic. It especially, of course, operates towards the high north, where climate change seems to be opening up more maneuver space for Russia. Russia's problem is its economy is small enough that it can afford really good stuff, submarines in particular, and also in the aerospace industry. But it just can't afford a whole lot of them. So mass is a real problem for Russia, even though what it actually builds and puts out there is quite excellent in many cases. As far as whether Russia and China will work together. I think that's something that we really have to get to keep our eye on. That. And I mean, it's my sort of gut feel is that this is a rather brittle relationship that we're looking at between Russia and China. There's a lot of baggage between those nations, reaching way back into history. If China is serious about recovering every inch of ground once ruled by a dynastic China, well, you know, some of that ground is in the Far East. And it belongs to Russia right now. So yes, I think they have sort of a marriage of convenience, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to be a lasting relationship. What that means in operational terms, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
James Holmes of the U.S. Naval War College. Professor James Holmes. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill. China in Africa with ships, warships. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.